And that's because he is a good shepherd. And he says, my sheep know my voice. We're going to talk about Jesus, the good shepherd. You got your Bibles, go to John chapter 10. If you're with us for the very first time, we are in a series, John's Gospel Gallery, portraits of Jesus Christ, a different picture of Jesus in every chapter of the book of John. And today we get to a portrait of Jesus as the good shepherd. That's why we sing that song, and he does call us. He knows us by name. We know his voice, and we follow after him. And he is not only a good shepherd, he's my shepherd. Is he yours? Heard about a Sunday school teacher who was asking, he had tasked his Sunday school class with memorizing the 23rd Psalm, which begins, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And he told these little boys, he said, you're going to memorize it, and then you're going to get up in front of the whole church, and you're going to quote the 23rd Psalm. Well, this one little boy, he was struggling to get it into his head. He couldn't get past, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then he would just kind of fall apart. He kept trying to put it in there. He tried and tried. The next Sunday came, and it was time to get up and quote his verse. And he got up there. The crowd was full. He was nervous. He was shaking. He was sweating. And he got up there and he was trying to remember the words. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. And that's all I know. And then he ran off the stage. And I thought, that's it. That's really all we need to know is the Lord is my shepherd. The Bible talks about us as being sheep. And there's a couple of different verses I want to share with you. One of the verses kind of deals with the course that we are on in the callousness of our hearts. In Isaiah 53, verse 6, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But then there's a verse that talks about Jesus in his correction and his compassion. Our course is to turn astray. Jesus gives correction and compassion. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, which says, when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and they were scattered abroad like sheep having no shepherd. And so you see in the Bible that we're likened unto sheep. Now, I wonder why that is. You can say it because you know the answer. Sheep are not very bright, are they? sometimes we're so easily deceived, and sometimes we're so soft and we're endangered. There's nothing really aggressive or protective about a sheep. A sheep is defenseless. He needs guidance, he needs leadership, he needs protection, he needs provision, he needs someone to lead him by the still waters, he needs someone to cause him to lay down in the green pastures. We are like sheep, but there's a good shepherd. There's a good shepherd. And in our photo gallery of Jesus, we've seen him as the light of the world, the living water, the bread of life, the great physician, but today we're going to see him as the good shepherd. In our text, Jesus speaks about the sheepfold. And the sheepfold was often a circular wall that was about 10 feet high. And this sheepfold, it had a single opening that served as the door. The shepherd would set up the sheepfold, bring all the sheep into the fold. It had but a single door. And then the shepherd often would lie in the door as a way of protection. When the shepherd lies in the door of the sheepfold, no sheep can escape without going over the shepherd. And consequently, no predator can come in without first going through the line of defense, which is the shepherd. So he lies in the door. Jesus is not only the other things that we've seen in the scripture, he is our good shepherd who is not only the door, but he stays in the door to protect us from the evil one who would destroy us. Before we go any further today, I want to stop and ask you a question. Do you know Jesus, the Good Shepherd? Do you know Him as your shepherd? David didn't say the Lord is a shepherd. He said the Lord is my shepherd. Possessive, personal, practical. Today we're going to look at that. John chapter 10, look with me, verse 1. Jesus, we're coming out of the story of the blind man who was healed. And there's a reason why Jesus is going to talk about the false shepherds, because the false shepherds are the ones last week in chapter 9 who threw the blind man out of the synagogue when he told them that Jesus is the one who healed him. And so you see a lot of false shepherds. We'll talk about that in a minute. But here's a continued thought. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. How do we know Jesus is the good shepherd? He said, because I give my life for the sheep. That's how you know. Verse 12, but he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf scattereth or catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling flees because he's a hireling and he does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known of mine. For the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Let's stop right there. I'll explain that last verse towards the end of the message, because some of you are going, what other sheep? Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. Jesus is the good shepherd. What makes him the good shepherd? Number one, he possesses the right credentials. When you go to verses 1 through 5, Jesus spends the first 5 verses explaining why he is the good shepherd, and he explains how to avoid the adversary who would destroy you. Now, you do understand you have an adversary, right? Peter said it this way, that we have an adversary, the devil, who is like a roaring lion who's walking about seeking whom he may devour. He is looking to destroy you spiritually, physically, mentally. He is doing a masterful job at doing those things. But there's a good shepherd who stands in the door, stands in the way, and Jesus is that good shepherd, and he has the credentials to prove that. Now, notice some things in our text here. First, I want you to notice that there are false shepherds to fear. In verse 1, he says that the true shepherd comes in through the door. But the thieves, they're the ones who climb up another way. They try to come into the fold by some other method. That's a thief or a robber. Jesus sets the stage by exposing the false shepherds of Israel. Now, who would that be? Well, if you go back to chapter 9, it's the Pharisees. The Pharisees are the false shepherds of Israel. When Jesus healed the blind man last week, they brought him and his parents in, and they said, tell us by, by what means were you healed? And he said, well, this man named Jesus. And they said, well, what is he? Well, I think he's a prophet. Well, I think he's a man of God. Then he comes down to the place where he accepts that Jesus is the Son of God. He said, nobody could do these things except he come from God. This man has done a good thing. All I know is I was blind and now I see. And the false shepherds of Israel threw him out of the synagogue. So when Jesus comes to verse 1 and he says, you got to beware of the false shepherds, he's talking about those false religious leaders that were ruling that day, and consequently they're ruling in this day too. There are many religious thieves and robbers that instead of feeding the flock over whom God has given them oversight, are feeding and feasting off of the flock of God. They're becoming prosperous over the things of God. And they hate Jesus. These people hated Jesus because Jesus was exposing their pride. And Jesus was threatening their desire for power and control over the people. And it sounds to me just like the things that we see today. I want to tell you guys something. And I want you to listen very carefully. Not everything that is spiritual is holy. Now let that settle in. There are a lot of preachers out there, ain't there? There's a lot of prophets. A lot of people calling themselves apostles and things of that nature and such. Who will make a lot of promises to you based on the prosperity that you give them. And I want to tell you something. Those men are going to bust hell wide open. The Bible says that there, listen to, I'm not making this up. The Bible says there is a greater condemnation for people who use the gospel and pervert it for their own gain and lead people astray and lead them into destruction. God is going to hold them more accountable than anybody else. And our world is filled up with them. And people say, well, it seems so spiritual. Not everything that is spiritual is holy. The demon world that we live in, all the demon warfare, it's spiritual. But it ain't holy. Not everything that is spiritual comes from God. We battle against spiritual wickedness in high places. So you say, well, Brother Raines, how am I supposed to survive? Let me share a couple of verses with you since you look intrigued. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, John says, the same John who wrote our gospel at the age of 90 wrote 1 John. And here's what he said, beloved, believe not every spirit. Don't believe everything. And listen, I think you ought to have an open mind, but you ought not be so open-minded that your brain falls out. You know what I'm saying? Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Is this God? How can I know? I tell you what you do. You take whatever they're spilling out and you line it up next to God's word. And if it does not line up next to God's word, it is not of God. God is not going to contradict himself. He's not going to lead you astray. He's going to lead you into all truth by his Holy Spirit. Try the spirits, see whether they be of God. And here's why. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. There's a lot of false shepherds out there. You say, well, Brother Raines, how can I know who they are? Jesus told you. But I'll share it with you again. In Matthew chapter 7, when Jesus was addressing his disciples, the Pharisees were within earshot of him up on that mountain when he set his disciples down. And here's what he said in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. These are the thieves and the robbers that are going over the sheepfold into the fold. They're not coming into the door because they're thieves and robbers. They come in over the top. He said, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. That's pretty simple, isn't it? If I go out here and I see a tree and it's got oranges on it, well, that'll be a miracle because we're in Oklahoma. But I'll know it's an orange tree. I know it by its fruits. I see acorns, I say that's an oak tree. There are many false prophets who are making all kind of promises. All you got to do is look at the fruit of their life and the roots of their life, what they're after, what they're about. They're about their popularity. They're about their prosperity. Listen, they're not really interested in your prosperity. They're interested in their own prosperity at your hands. All you got to do is try the spirits, see whether they be of God. And listen, some of them are not even hiding it. Some of them are not even hiding the fact that they're false prophets. And people still gobble it up. Oh, this is so good. This old boy told me if I send him my offerings, I'll be blessed tenfold. Well, somebody's getting blessed. And all the while they lead people astray. They're devouring widows' houses, making a mockery of the gospel. There are false shepherds out there. He said, you're going to know them by their fruits. Good trees don't bring forth evil fruit. Neither do evil trees bring forth good fruit. It's just not how it works. Look at the false shepherds. Now, number two here, in the credentials of Jesus, not only does he say that there are false shepherds to fear, there's a faithful shepherd to follow. Jesus is the true shepherd. He entered according to God's plan. He has all the credentials to be the good shepherd. He was virgin born in Bethlehem. He was brought up out of Egypt. He is of the tribe of Judah. He is of the lineage of David. All the credentials point back to Jesus. All the prophecies point back to Jesus. Listen, if you can't believe anything that I say or anybody else says, believe the prophecies that were fulfilled about the life of Jesus and the hundreds that were fulfilled in his birth alone. He has the credentials. He is the right person born in the right place at the right time. He is the one that John the Baptist said that there's one who comes after me whose shoe I'm not even worthy to latch. He is the one who John looked at and said, there he is, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. But thirdly, there's not only a false shepherd to fear and faithful shepherds to follow, but there's a forceful stranger to flee. Verse 5, he says, a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the stranger. Sheep are not drawn to strangers. They run from strangers. A man in Australia was arrested and charged with stealing a sheep. He claimed that it was his own sheep. The judge had the sheep brought in, and he had the man that claimed that it was his sheep to leave the courtroom, go outside where the sheep could not see him and call that sheep. And the sheep did not move. Then he had the plaintiff who said that that man had stolen his sheep to do the same. And the sheep immediately left the room and went to his master's voice. My sheep know my voice, and they follow me. Another's voice they do not know. They will not follow a stranger. Listen, when you know the good shepherd, and you know the truth of God's word, it's so important that you study God's word and that you rightly divide it so that you can understand God's word. That way, when you hear a stranger's voice, you say, that's not the voice of my master. That's not Jesus' voice. That's not God's voice. That's not the voice of the word of God. That's a stranger's voice. I don't follow that. You'll know that which is false. In chapter 10, look at verse 27. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. When the false shepherd speaks, you'll know. I think many people are led astray by false shepherds because they are biblically illiterate. And they just follow along like a little sheep, never trying the spirits, never determining for themselves what is right or what is wrong, never discerning that which is spiritual from that which is not. So Jesus, the good shepherd, he has this claim because he possesses the right credentials. Number two, he possesses the right character. Verses 6 through 10, there are three thoughts that Jesus gives us I want to share with you. Number one, Jesus is the only door. He's the only door. Jesus reveals his identity as the door. The shepherd himself in the sheepfold became the door by lying in that opening. Nothing goes in, nothing comes out without going through the shepherd. Jesus did not say, I am a door, one of many. Jesus said, I am the door, the one and only. That's why Jesus said what he said in John 14, verse 6. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Three definite articles. No man comes to the Father. Nobody gets into the fold except he comes through Jesus Christ. That's it. I am the door. If any man enters by me, then he'll have life, he'll have provision, he'll have all those things. If anyone desires to enter the fold of God, maybe you're here today and you think to yourself, I'm not in the fold of God. I'm in church today, but I know in my heart and in my spirit that I'm not in the fold of God. I'm not in God's family. I'm not one of his sheep. Can I tell you something? There's but one door. Amen. Only one. And it's not through this church. It's not through your baptism, not through anything you've done. It's not through another man. There's not another Messiah. There is one mediator between God and man, and his name is Jesus Christ. He is the door. You must enter by him. Now, a couple of thoughts about this door. Number one, it's little in its source. Jesus is the only way. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus, right before the verses that I read a moment ago, Jesus made some astounding statements. In verses 13, he said, enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. It's interesting. This gate, this door, is straight and narrow. It's little in its source. And Jesus says, I am that way. And he says, there's only just a few that find it. Now, I know, I understand something. I understand that this is out of step with modern religion. And I don't give a rip. I don't care. Jesus being the only way to heaven is perfectly in tune with the Scriptures. And that's all that matters. It doesn't matter if it's in line with your opinion. It doesn't matter if it's in line with your feelings and your emotions. It doesn't matter if it's in line with your theology. It doesn't matter if it's in line with my church. All that matters is that Jesus being the only door, the only way to heaven, is in line with the Scriptures. That's all that matters. Everything else is inconsequential. It's little in its source. But I want you to notice this, it's large in its scope. He says, if any man enters in, he shall be saved. He said something under that kind of hurts my feelings and kind of astonishes me. He said, there's few that find it. That blows my mind a little bit. For one, it seems like the gospel is being proclaimed a lot these days. I mean, you ought to be able to turn the radio on and hear the gospel. You think about this. Think about all the countries that the gospel is broadcast into. All the languages it's broadcast in. How is it that few find it? It's a good question, don't you think? I got a good answer. Aren't you excited? This is a cliffhanger. I'm going to pause. Pregnant pause. The answer is, it's not that it's hard to find. It's hard to enter into. A lot of people will see the door and they'll go, there it is. But there are so few people who are willing to reduce themselves, lay off their burdens, lay off their pride, and humble themselves to enter into the door. What did the Bible tell us in Matthew chapter 19? Let me read it to you. You stay right where you are. Just pay attention. Just listen. Matthew chapter 19, verse 23. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter the kingdom of heaven. It's difficult. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. His disciples heard it, they were amazed, and they said, who then can be saved? The answer is simple, he who will humble himself. When Jesus is saying that it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven, not necessarily. He said that because of the rich young ruler who came to him who did not want to sell his possessions and follow Christ. That's why he said that. But the truth is, most of us have so much pride in our hearts and so much dignity that we're going to let our dignity lead us straight to hell. We won't humble ourselves and follow Christ. And the truth is, the eye of the needle is not the eye of a needle where you put in a thread. Nobody can put thread through a needle. I can't do it. I mean, it can be done, I guess, but I can't do it. But the eye of the needle was a small gate in the wall of a city that you could open. A camel could go through the eye of the needle if he took off his load, if he took off his burden, if he got on his knees and humbled himself, he could get through, but it was hard. That's what he's talking about. That's why he said it's hard. And listen, the context of that verse is a rich young ruler, so he says rich people struggle with this. The truth is, we all struggle with it. It was riches holding him back. For most of us, it's our pride. And it's our self-will that holds us back. We're not going to unload that and get on my knees and humble myself and go through. Jesus said, I am the door. It's little in its source, but it's large in its scope. He says, if anybody does that, he can be saved. Now, he's not only the only door. Jesus is the open door. Jesus is open and offering life to anybody who comes. He will eternally save them and secure them. He says, I've come. He said, the thief is coming to kill, steal, and destroy. I've come to give them life and to give them life more abundantly. He is the open door that cannot be shut. And that door is still open. It gives us the picture of Jesus standing with his arms wide open, with his pierced hands saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. This is the open door. Jesus is saying, come to me. I'm the door. And if you come in, Jesus will give you some things. He'll give you pardon. He'll give you protection. He'll give you provision. He'll give you privilege. He'll lead you to green pastures by still waters. Here's the thing, though. Jesus is the only door and the open door, but Jesus is the overlooked door. For a person to be saved, he has to go through the right door. And I want you to understand something. It's not enough to see the door. It's not enough to believe that the door exists. It's not even enough to look inside the door. A lot of people look at Jesus and go, yeah, there he is. There's Jesus. I see him. I heard about him my whole life. There he is. I see him. A lot of people will even acknowledge that the door exists. Yeah, I believe Jesus exists. Some of them will even come to church on Sunday and I'll open the door of Jesus, and some of you will even look in there. It's not enough to know he exists. It's not enough to see him, to believe in him. It's not enough to look inside. You have to enter through the door. You've got to go in to be saved. All this is pictured in Noah. Worldwide destruction was coming. And God told Noah to build an ark. And the Bible says, by faith, Noah moved and he built an ark. Over a century, he built an ark. And over a century, the repentance was preached. For over a century, people mocked him and ignored him, laughed at him, and then judgment came. And Noah and his family, they entered the ark by what? A door. A door. One door. See, the ark is a type of Jesus Christ. It's a type of Christ. It has but one door. It's open to you. Anybody who wants to flee the wrath of God comes in through the door. Noah and his family got on the ark. They got in the ark. And God shut the door. And I want to tell you something. A lot of people, I would imagine, when that rain started coming, and really, the rain from above really isn't what caused the flood. It was the waters in the deep that broke up that caused the flood. When those fountains of the deep began to break up, mountains were being formed and water was going crazy above. I imagine a lot of people came and got near that ark. Don't you? And Noah, we didn't know what you were talking about. But we're starting to figure it out. Can you imagine the coil marks that might have been on the outside of that ark as people were trying to climb onto the ark? And they're banging on the door. Let us in! Let us in! It's too late. They could have been near the ark. They could have been on the ark. They could have been around the ark. But the only people who were saved were in the ark. See it. A lot of people have been around Jesus their whole life, been near Him, had Him on their shirt, had Him on their phone. And many people who have done those same things have never been in Jesus Christ. I and Him, and Him and me, dwelling in Him. And I think so many people are going to die and be so surprised that being near Jesus wasn't enough. Knowing He existed, seeing Him, looking around, looking in, not enough. He's the open door. When time ran out, the door closed. I want you to notice this very lastly and very quickly. Jesus is the good shepherd because He possesses the right credentials. And He possesses the right character. He doesn't flee when the hireling comes. He also possesses the right concern. His concern is for the sheep. Jesus proves Himself. It's proven by His sacrifice. The hireling is only concerned about profiting off of the sheep, but the shepherd gives his life for his sheep. The shepherd owns the sheep. He has a vested interest. He's willing to pay any price to protect them, even if it means putting his life in danger. He's the one that's in the door. He's the one who's going to face the predators first. He's the one who's going to go before them and look for the dangers and fight for them. Jesus' confrontation with the false shepherds of Israel ultimately led to His death on the cross, didn't it? The fact that Jesus wouldn't back up from the false shepherds who were trying to devour His sheep ultimately led to His death on the cross. But when Jesus saw that danger, He did not run away from that or hide away from that danger. He ran to it. And as the Lamb of God, He laid down His life on the altar of the cross and died for us. So Jesus' concern is proven by His sacrifice. Number two, it's proven by His sheep. Verse 14, He said, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known of mine. Jesus being the good shepherd is proven by His sacrifice and by His sheep. His sheep know who they are, who He is. He speaks about the bond between the shepherd and the sheep. They know Him, and He knows them. They're not going to follow another. Individual sheep may all look alike to us, but the true shepherd knows his sheep by name, knows them individually. But Jesus' concern is proven by His sacrifice, proven by His sheep that know Him. It's also proven by His salvation in verse 16. At the end of this, Jesus said, other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Jesus says that there will be other sheep that will come along afterwards. What's He talking about? Jesus at this point is lifting His eyes beyond the cross. He's looking beyond the resurrection. He's looking to the going forth of the gospel into all nations and all the world. The gospel came first to the household of Israel, to the Jews, to those Pharisees who rejected Him, who threw the blind man out of the synagogue last week. By and large, the Jews rejected Jesus as Messiah. And Jesus is looking forward to the Gentile age. He turned to the Gentiles, now within the flock, in the New Testament church and in the kingdom of God, are other sheep, not just the Jews, but the Gentiles. Aren't you glad Gentiles can be saved? Some of you don't know it, but you're a Gentile. You're like, I am? Can I get a cheaper car tag? Nope, that's Cherokees. Amen? But if you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. And Jesus said to those Jews who didn't want to believe on him, I've got other sheep that will believe on me. That's us. He went to the cross. He looked beyond all of that to see us and to save us. The good shepherd is still today searching for lost sheep. I'm going to have our musicians come. We're going to close. He's searching for them because he wants to bring them back into the fold of God. Some of you are here today and you might be outside the fold. You're on the outside of the ark looking in. You're near Jesus. You know about him. You've heard about him. You've looked at him. You believe he exists, but you're still not in. There's but one door. And Jesus is humongous in his power and his reach and his grace and his mercy. But when I enter that door, I have to humble myself. I have to rid myself of anything. That's why we sing Just As I Am. That's why we sing that song. Without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. I have nothing to bring Jesus. Jesus doesn't need anything from me. Repentance and faith. Entering into that door. As our musicians begin to play, I want to share a passage of scripture with you as we close out our message today. It comes from Luke chapter 15, in the parable of the lost sheep. It says, in a parable, Jesus spake unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lost one sheep, would he not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, lay it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than the 99 just persons who do not need repentance. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about 99 self-righteous people who look at the door and go, that's great, but I don't need that. I'm good enough. I'm good right here. He's talking about self-righteous people who don't think that they need to be saved. He said, but heaven rejoices when one person says, yes, yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, I'm lost. Yes, I've trusted everything in the world except for Jesus. Yes, I've gone a million ways except for Jesus. Yes, I've passed through 1,000 doors except for the door. And when Jesus seeks that sheep and that sheep says, there's the fold, there's the door, and that's my shepherd, heaven rejoices. Is he your shepherd? If he's not, come today. Let's stand. As we sing, what number, Brother Darren? Page 385, would you come today while we sing?